appreciate that.
It's not a bad run, 86 years.
No. No. And I wasn't easy on her. So we're going to spend the next several weeks and looking at some of the parables that Jesus told. He spoke a lot in parables, as you know, and so there's a lot of deep truths that we can glean from them. So what is a parable? A parable is a short story that compares something familiar with something unfamiliar. It helps us to understand a spiritual truth by using everyday objects that we can relate to. And there's the intention that what is told is to be applied to a larger, more important truth. Many times it uses metaphor to compare the lesser with the greater. Basically, a parable is a small story that has a big idea behind it. Parables require the listeners to think and discover the truth. They're intended to cause them to be curious, to pause and consider what is being said, and look for the application, look for the larger meaning. And while at the same time, parables conceal the truth who are either too lazy or too stubborn or too dull to take the time and energy to seek it out. But to those who are honestly seeking the truth, it will become clear, the meaning of the parable. So in this series, we're going to be focusing on what's known as the kingdom parables, several parables that Jesus told that usually start out with the phrase, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And Jesus uses these to describe how life is meant to be lived when Jesus is truly Lord of your life. And you have made it your goal and your aim in life to become Christ-like in your character and in your actions. And they explain what the kingdom of God really is like as opposed to what may be our misconceptions of that kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is not a geographic location, but rather a spiritual realm where God rules and we share in his eternal life that he offers us. And we become a part of that kingdom when we place our trust and our life in Christ and make him Lord of our lives. So our first parable is found in three different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, with very little variance between the three. It is more popularly known as the parable of the sower, but in reality, it should be the parable of the soils, because the sower is only mentioned once, and clearly the focus of this parable is on the different types of soil. So I'm sure you're familiar with it, but we're going to read it. It's in Matthew chapter 13, and starting at verse 3. Matthew 13, verse 3. Then Jesus told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Another seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has an ear, let him hear." So I mentioned that that this isn't so much about the sower as it is the soils, but we have to mention the sower because he is a part of the story. Who is the sower? Well, in the direct context of this, we know that the sower is Jesus. Jesus is calling himself the sower. And that's an excellent description of his ministry while he was on earth. He went about sowing the seeds of the kingdom. And indirectly, you and I are also sowers in our day. As we follow Jesus and seek to be transformed into Christ's likeness, we also are sowers. Every time we preach or teach, or every time we share and love others in Jesus' name, we are sowing the seeds of the kingdom. And so the sower is primarily Jesus, but also us in our day. So what are these seeds? The seeds, we know from verse 19, if we were to read ahead, we know the seeds are the words of the kingdom, Jesus calls them. And I love it when Jesus provides the own answers to our questions. He explains the details of this in following verses in Matthew 13. And Jesus says that the seeds are the words of the kingdom. So every time you share your testimony, that is the story of what God has done in your life, the changes that he's bringing about, the sins that he has saved you from, forgiven you from, the work of holiness that he is doing within your heart and your life, you are sowing those seeds of the kingdom. And so if you have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sins and seek to live in the kingdom where he is Lord and Master, then you have a huge sack of seeds. And you carry these seeds around with you. The seeds are your words that you speak. And God wants you to be very generous with these seeds. They're not something he wants you to hang on to. They're not something that are precious that you need to keep. Those seeds will do you no good when you die and go to heaven. There's not a use for them there. They're to be done sown here on earth. This is where the dirt is, right? This is the dirty place, we'll say that. This is where we need to sow those seeds. Have you heard the phrase, and I know some of you have you heard the phrase, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words? Have you heard that? Yes. It's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. That was the earliest thing that I've attributed to. And lots of people like that. And I used to like that. But the more I come to understand, the more I'm beginning to see, there's some problems with that. Jesus never said that. Paul never said that. Peter never said that. There's nowhere in Scripture where we can find anything that resembles that. In fact, I would contend that it's almost anti-scriptural to say that. And here's why. Jesus had large crowds following him for most of his ministry on earth. And he did many miraculous deeds. And he spoke with authority. And he had a way of teaching that was unmatched by the greatest teachers of his time. Or any time. And yet, it wasn't the miracles that he performed that brought about the eternal change to people's lives. Yep, he freed them from demons. He healed them from their diseases. He gave sight to the blind and the lame walked. And these are all good and wonderful things. But that wasn't his primary goal in performing those miracles. He wanted to preach to those crowds. He wanted to teach them about God and his kingdom. And we can't think that every person that Jesus healed and set free from a physical affliction was automatically what we might call born again or saved. I'm sure some were, but not all. And let's look at a passage in Luke's gospel. In Luke chapter 17, we read this. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God?" 1 out of 10. 1/10 of those, if we were to extrapolate this out to all of Jesus' healings, 1/10 of those he healed experienced a life change deep within their hearts that drew them, from what we can tell, closer to God. I hope it was more than that. I truly do. People aren't saved by observing our good deeds. I've never heard of anyone coming to the Lord saying, "I had this neighbor once who went to church every day, and they were so nice, and sometimes they even mowed my lawn, that I just fall on my face and worship God because of that." It comes from our words. Our deeds should follow our words. And I'll tell you something, and this might surprise you, but I am not very good at that. I know. Look at me now. But I've had a whole week to prepare this. So, but when I'm doing my chaplain stuff at Columbia, and when I'm talking to people on the street, I'm just like, I got nothing to say. You know, my mind goes blank, and I'm praying those desperate prayers. "Oh, Lord, what do I say? Help me. Give me the words to speak, something." And more often than not, it's like, "Yeah, I got nothing. Have a good day." And I kick myself, and I hate it. Because I know that it's the words that stick with people, that make it a game changer. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 14, "How will they believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" And in verse 17, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the words of Christ." Now, as I said, this can be intimidating. Perhaps we fear a big theological debate, or saying the wrong things, or not having the right answer, or how to answer their question at all. And these are all legitimate things that should be considered. But don't let that keep you from speaking when the time comes to speak. And I'm talking to myself just as much as I'm talking to anybody here. I constantly need to remind myself, I need to speak when the time comes. And I remind myself, when I'm not good with words, when you're not good with words, we're in good company. Moses and Jeremiah both claimed that they couldn't speak for God when God pointed to them. They said, we can't do that. I can't do this. I can't speak. And yet, look at how their words led and guided and encouraged the nation of Israel. And in many ways, they still lead and encourage us today. Words are powerful. It is with our words that we plant those seeds of the kingdom. And we need to spread some more seeds. So let's look at how Jesus describes these four types of soil that the seeds may fall upon. He starts with the hard path, the words of the kingdom. Some of the seed fell on the path. And Jesus said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. It's implied that they don't want to understand it, that they don't care to understand it, that they are bored with the words of the kingdom. The seed doesn't even penetrate enough to begin the germination process. And it may seem that our society is becoming more like a hard path, more like this floor. Can you imagine trying to grow something in here? But that reminds me, some of you guys might remember back in the corner of the men's room, there was a weed coming up between that crack in the floor. Did you guys see that last year? A weed come up. Whoa, time to clean, right? It may seem like society is becoming more like a hard path, that the gospel is being ignored and that people just don't want to hear the message anymore. But that's not true. That is not true. And don't let that become your reality, because it's not true. Just this church last year, in this last church year, we had 16 people come to faith in Christ. We had 16 people make a commitment to the Lord. That's the most we've ever had. It's not a huge number, but it's the most we've ever had. And I can tell you with assurance that other churches in this community are facing similar numbers in proportion to the size of their church. People coming to the Lord. People are thirsty. People are coming to Christ. I was just talking with Earl before church of the huge revival that's going on in, of all places, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Yeah, Iran. People are coming to Christ by the thousands in Iran. And it's incredible. You don't hear about it because that's not the kind of news they want spread around. But it is a fantastic phenomenon that's taking place in that country. And we need to be praying for that. And may it sweep around the globe. This is what we need to celebrate. This is what we need to focus on. Not all the world is a hard, hard path. The next type of soil that Jesus talks about is the rocky soil. And Jesus describes it this way. And this is in verse 20 through 21 of Matthew 13. Excuse me. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one that hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Now this could be those who have a come to Jesus moment at an emotionally charged church service or event. Maybe a disaster in their life, a crisis, just brings them to God, and they see it as a lifeline, and oh yeah, and they grab it, but it never really goes any further than that. And they're so moved with a spiritual warm fuzzy, and they eagerly embrace the thought of a Savior that is so full of love, who wraps his arms around them and holds them tight and comforts them and never lets go. And we sing some songs like that, don't we? And it's just, oh, it's just one big godly embrace. But they don't understand the depth of commitment that is required to walk with Christ. They don't understand the sacrifice that the Christian life demands of us. And people say, oh, but Jesus sacrificed for me. I don't have to sacrifice anything. That's wrong theology. That's bad theology. That's stinking thinking, what one pastor told, called it. Man, we are called to sacrifice as Christ followers. We are called to give up our lives. We are told to carry our cross every day. And so when people don't grasp that, they're like the rocky soil that prevents roots from growing deep. And so that when hard times come, when resistance comes, that Christian life that they thought would be all glitter, rainbows, and unicorned, it just falls apart and they walk away from it. They shrivel up and they die. They don't understand the self-sacrifice, the turning of the other cheek. They don't understand enduring hardship and suffering as a good soldier of Christ, as Paul says in 2 Timothy. They abandon ship. That's the rocky soil. Then there's the thorny soil with the thorns. In Matthew 13:22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who would hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and proves unfruitful. So, like the rocky soil, there's no fruit among the thorns. Their hearts are weighed down, Jesus says, by the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And like Israel of old, they are drawn after other gods, and their hearts are divided between the Lord and what everybody else is doing, what they see their neighbors doing. They lay up treasures on earth rather than in heaven. They would rather save the whales or the rainforests than do whatever they could to spread the word that might save the souls of the people living right next door to them. They chase after the things of the world rather than the things of God. And in the end, it all comes to nothing. Ah, and then there's the good soil. We love the good soil, don't we? Matthew 13:23, Jesus says, as for what is sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, and another 30. This is the goal that we should all strive for, to be good soil. We've been working in our garden the last few days, working that rototiller, and there's some patches. We've been planting a garden in this same spot year after year for, oh man, almost 20 years now. And we can tell when we hit that spot, because the dirt that gets churned up goes from that light chocolatey brown to this deep, rich, almost a black soil. All the nutrients from the years and years and years of all that compost doing its work. And we have some really good dirt in some of our garden. And if we could just keep the weeds out, we would feed the world. But we want to be good soil in our hearts. We want to have a heart where the word of the kingdom takes root. And sinks deep roots and that grows strong and bears fruit and produces seed that bring life and nourishment. And then that seed can be replanted and produce more fruit, and it just never ends. And so the kingdom of heaven expands, and the Father receives the praise. And he says, in one case 100-fold, and another 60, and in another 30. And you know, I think what Jesus is saying is the fruitfulness that we produce in our life, it's going to look different for each one of us, depending on, not so much on our faithfulness, but just in our personalities and how God uses us in the different situation that God puts us in. You know, you might have someone that is just speaks a word and 100 people come to Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. It's wonderful. And we celebrate that. And then over here, like our little church, we had 16 in a year. Hey, we should celebrate that because that is something, you know? And so whether you're producing 100-fold, 60, or 30, if God is using you, praise God for that. And share it with us because we want to celebrate with you. That's what we're all about as the body of Christ. Rejoicing with those who rejoice, mourning with those who mourn, and the Father gets the praise. And Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. I look around, I think we all have ears. Some ears work better than others, right? You know? But we all have ears. We can all hear. But do we understand? And do we want to understand? That's why Jesus spoke in parables. For those who want to understand, they'll find out what Jesus is talking about. But for those who aren't really concerned, hey, let's get to the meal. The good news in all of this, and I want to be careful doing this because Jesus' parables get beat up a lot. They get stretched way too thin sometimes. And I don't want to stretch them beyond what Jesus intended. But I think the good news in all of this is that soil can be amended. Thorns and weeds can be pulled out. Rocks can be removed. And even that hard packed dirt, with persistence and love and time and the work of the Holy Spirit, you take that rototiller of God's word and you work in the compost of the Holy Spirit, and pretty soon you're going to have good, rich, black soil. I believe it. I've seen it happen. I've known people who are just so hard against God, they didn't give a flipping rip about God or think or Jesus or anything. They didn't want to hear it. And now they're worshiping Jesus. Because people consistently, persistently love them. So praise God for his work. And when that soil receives the good word of the kingdom, God does great things. You know, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says the church was getting bent out of shape over who was the better leader, Paul or Apollos or some other guy. And Paul says, no, man, none of that. You know, Paul plants the seed, Apollos waters the seed. God brings the increase. Amen. God gets the harvest. God gets the praise. And that's the focus. So may our prayer be that we become good soil and that we become more faithful in sowing the seeds of the kingdom at every opportunity. Would you stand with me? I thank you, God, for today and this lesson. I thank you, God, that your that the words of the kingdom, those seeds, are good seed. You know, in this parable, the quality of the seed is never called into question. It's just automatically assumed that when the seed finds the right soil, it's going to do its intended work. And that's just like your word, Lord. And we praise you for that and ask that you would help us to be better sowers of your word. God, I'm sure each and every one of us could tell a tale of a time when they could have said something, they should have said something, and they know in their heart they should have said something. And fear or not having the right words or something, let that moment pass. And Lord, we live with the regret of missed opportunities. I pray, God, that those would become less and less in our lives. I pray that we would be able to speak with boldness and with clarity, not in an arrogant, beat-down kind of way, but in love and earnestness, in calling people to your great kingdom. I pray, God, that we would start scattering the seeds of your kingdom more liberally around us. I thank you for each person here and for the soil in their heart. And Lord, I know that you're working in our hearts, and you are amending the soil of our hearts to produce a harvest of 100 or 60 or 30-fold. And Lord, we want to be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory for each and every fruit that comes from that. You are a good God, and we praise you mightily tonight. Lord, would you cause us to ponder and pray about these things. And Lord, help us to be help us to be responsible with the soil in our own heart, to dig out those rocks and pull out those weeds that we know are keeping your word from being effective. Lord, would you bless us as we fellowship and bless this meal. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And my...